This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The latest on the oil spill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. BP's top kill effort to stop the gushing oil well in the Gulf is still going on, and there are some encouraging signs. But now we're hearing that BP and the government have underestimated the size of the spill. President Obama is holding a news conference on all this within the hour, and Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us now live. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first, fill us in on the new estimates about the magnitude of this thing.
Well, the U.S. Geological Survey, the USGS, says that between 504,000 gallons a day to more than 1 million gallons a day is estimated to be coming from BP's well. And if these numbers are right, this would be the worst oil leak in U.S. history, far bigger than Exxon Valdez in Alaska. USGS Director Marcia McNutt was asked how the earlier figures could have been so wrong.
The original estimate was, of course, based on very limited data. It was approved by the Unified Command.
In addition to that flow rate, Jeremy, the USGS now estimates that on May 17th, the day it conducted the tests, anywhere from 5 million to more than 11 million gallons of oil was on the surface of the Gulf, and that's not even counting what was underneath the water that day.
Is there any chance that BP will be able to stop the oil leak today?
Well, the latest attempt, that top kill operation, is apparently showing some promise. Officials are injecting heavy drilling fluid into the well, but we won't know until this afternoon or this evening whether it's a go.
And President Obama, as we said, is set to make a major announcement and have a news conference in just under an hour. What are we expecting from him?
Well, he might mention that his head of the Mineral Management Service, the federal agency that oversees offshore oil drilling, is gone. Apparently, she resigned today. And then he's expected to announce a moratorium on deep water drilling for 6 months. But important to note, the president will allow permits to continue to be issued for shallow water oil drilling.
Okay, Marketplace's Janet Babin joining us live. Thanks, Janet.
You're welcome, Jeremy.
On Wall Street, investors are cheering news that China is not rethinking its investment in European debt, as had been reported yesterday. With that reassurance from the Chinese, stocks are higher. The Dow is up 208 points at this hour at 10,183. The NASDAQ up about 2.7%. And the S&P 500 up about 2.33%. Shares in Europe closed up about 3%. Donald Trump has found himself in a real estate row yet again. This time, the issue is a championship golf club he's been trying to build in Scotland. Three property owners there are refusing to sell land that's an essential part of his development. From Aberdeen, Scotland, the BBC's Stephen Duff reports for Marketplace.
For 5 years, Donald Trump has been trying to build on sand dunes on Scotland's northeast coast.
I think it will top any golf course anywhere in the world.
But campaign group Tripping Up Trump has bought a piece of land right in the middle of the development and it's refusing to sell. Trump claims the project is still on track and has caused a bit of a stir in Scotland by criticising the property owners.
In the United States, we call it a slum. His property is a pigsty. It's terrible.
Michael Forbes is one of the rebel homeowners.
So he's over miscalling me again, is he? Throwing more tantrums. Childish.
Do you have any?
Is that a way to do business?
The protesters want hundreds of people to become co-owners of the land, which would create a legal headache for the Trump organisation and the local government if they force them to sell. In Aberdeen, I'm the BBC's Stephen Duff reporting for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. and by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Bulk book buyers are in New York City this week for the nation's largest marketplace for books. Reporter Lisa Napoli looks at what some authors have to do to get buyers' attention.
Speed dating isn't just the domain of single people. Here, the technique is being used by authors of children's stories to sell their books to stores.
This story is more fantastic than a movie.
It's the first of a series, and the second book will be out in March.
It's not enough to have sold a book to a publisher. Now that these authors' ideas have made it into print, they have to convince bookstores and librarians to buy them. A winning pitch can mean the difference between the remainder bin and great sales. Second-time author Beth Vantesky is one of 22 writers hoping to attract attention. She used to think the hardest part of being a writer was writing the book.
Oh my gosh, marketing is huge as an author. I was shocked when my first book came out how much time goes into marketing.
This speed dating event gives an author like Vantesky a chance to get FaceTime with someone like Jill Moore, the children's book buyer at Square Books in Oxford, Mississippi.
You know, it's kind of like a roll of the dice for authors, whether or not they're going to be accepted. So the bookseller is the person that can really make that happen.
Time to move to the next table, please. Ring, ring, ring.
Rebecca Miller of the Children's Book Council says her group sponsors the session to help authors break out from the stacks of tens of thousands of kids' books published each year.
This way they've made a meaningful connection, even though brief, with someone who can really put that book into the hands of the right kid.
And the child is ultimately the gauge of whether an author will be successful. But the first step happens here.
Your book is
Hello.
So awesome.
You've read it already?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
I'm shocked and thrilled.
My sales rep told me to put it in the top five.
For some kids' authors, there's no question this first date will lead to a fruitful relationship. In New York, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And finally, get used to the name Grayson Chance. That's the 12-year-old boy from Oklahoma who became a YouTube sensation 2 weeks ago after posting his performance of Lady Gaga's hit song Paparazzi. He now has a record deal, courtesy of talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, who's starting her own record label. He's also snagged two managers, one who handles Madonna, the other who handles Lady Gaga. Not bad for week two. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.